Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday night. Friday, November the 10th, 2023, 11 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the big Friday Night Live program here. And boy, do we got a full house tonight. We've got a group of five here. So we've got a hand tonight here on the Friday Night Live program. And we are broadcasting from the new studio tonight. First time we have done this live from here. Today's the first day we've done that. And we announced today on the noon show where the new studio was. We are located in what was built as the first Marion General Hospital here in Marion. Then it became City Hall, and then it became doctor's offices, and now it's a private business. It's the Delaware Avenue Professional Building. We are on the first floor, and we'll let you know when we're taking visitors and presents. So that's how that'll all work. Joining us in studio tonight, as always, we have Matt Morgan and Sean Kraft and Carrington Nelson. And tonight, that's not five. Matt, who do we have? Special guest.
We have my brother, Caleb Rice.
Caleb.
Hello.
Your debut right there. So what's it like to be in here tonight amongst all these people?
I mean, a little nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm just happy I see a lot of regular faces here.
That's
tonight.
Good. Does it comfort you that you see the regular faces?
I do, yes.
Okay. Now, do you have an opinion on everything? And
yep, I'm ready to go.
Well, I'll tell you, because here's the thing. Tonight we're going to do something because we're all a little nervous. Matt, fill them in on what's going to happen in Caledonia on Saturday night. Well, just give them the whole plug.
So on December 9th, there will be Christmas.
Give them the time.
Six.
6 o'clock, 6 p.m.
December 9th at 6 p.m. in the Village Square at Caledonia. There will be a Christmas in the Village. Scott will be there. He will be reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas" and lighting the Christmas tree. I will be there dressed as a reindeer. Carrington will be there dressed as an elf. There will be singing. Santa will be there.
Santa, now here's how, Caleb, are you going to request this day off so you can come?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a boss. I'd love to see this.
Sean will be there?
Yes.
Yes, and I believe Pastor Craig's going to come. And I mean, 1,000 people are going to be there. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to stand up at the beginning, and I'm going to say, welcome to Christmas in the Village. I'm your official welcoming person to Christmas. This is the official start of Christmas.
And you're going
to
say it just like that.
You know, listen. Have you practiced your singing?
No. We don't have a song picked yet.
We're working on that tonight. That's okay. Why we're... Okay, gee whiz. Don't be so touchy.
It was so funny.
Why are you dressed up tonight? You going somewhere tonight?
No, I have my work pants on right now.
You got earrings on. I've never seen you wear earrings
what?
Before.
No, I wear earrings all the time. I have a bunch
I've
of earrings.
I've never seen you wear earrings.
Look,
have you ever seen
my ears? Like,
well, you got those big dangly things on tonight. You look like a gypsy.
I have actually...
That's so rude.
I don't know that I've ever, like... paid attention too much, but I have noticed that she has her ear pierced because she has multiple piercings.
Yeah, but you've never seen the gypsy earrings, have you?
Like the gypsy. whole ring ones?
Yeah, those big things she's got there.
They're just gold hoops, that's it. I don't know why this is being blown out of proportion.
No, it's not blown out of proportion. I'm just saying I never knew that you had your ears pierced because I've never looked at your ears. But then when you put those big gypsy earrings on, I can see them, I can see you coming down the street.
Doesn't Morgan Freeman wear gold earrings?
Yeah, you like the Morgan Freeman look.
I guess. I know. I just wore it for work today.
Sean, have you ever seen her with earrings like that?
I never paid attention.
There you go. See, it's not just me.
He said he never paid attention.
Neither did I.
I wonder what's different tonight. I've worn them before.
Because they're coming out from under your earphones.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. That's all I adjust.
Yeah, no, that's all I'm saying. Gee whiz. Touchy. Anyway, Christmas in Caledonia is coming up, so I'm going to get up there and welcome everybody to Christmas, and then I'm going to recite is what I'll do. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And then at that point, now, are you ready? Okay, because then, as soon as I'm done, and I went to all a good night, then you two, dressed as a reindeer and an elf, have to come in with a song right then. I'm not going to turn to you and sing, you just need to be ready. And then you sing a song, and then while you're singing the song, I'm going to get the tree flipper ready to go, and as soon as you're done, the tree lights, and Christmas starts, and again, now you got to be ready for a cue. When the crowd stops applauding, you go into another song.
We should sing "Oh Holy Night." I feel like that's a classic. Like
no,
the tree just
no,
got lit.
No, no, see yes. right there, wrong.
Fine, I'm done having opinions.
No, I'm just saying it's not church. It's not church that night. This is what you call a Christmas tree lighting, not a Christmas Eve service. I think you're mistaken.
No, but have you ever seen, I feel like I've watched movies before, like the tree turns on and like the chorus comes in with "Oh Holy Night" and you're like, wow, this is just so festive.
Well, if we were the Brady Bunch and it was Christmas, maybe this would work, but we're not. We're a reindeer and an elf and somebody reading "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," you understand?
That's fine. That's just my suggestion. Now the responsibility to decide is off of me.
No, no, you can suggest things, but you know, just a little more on par.
Okay, sorry. I forgot to say,
earlier before we went on, I got to say hello to our listener out there, Callan in Virginia, the state of Virginia. Hello, Callan.
Hi, Callan.
Yeah. there's a little question on Callan. But Callan, we're glad you're out there tonight listening. Callan in Virginia. And you guys say, "How? Who's listening? What's listening? Blah, blah, blah." They're listening in Virginia tonight.
I'm just curious. I want to know who's out there.
Well, pick better songs.
Okay,
please.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now, Sean, are you ready for this? Because you'll be videotaping this whole thing, photographing this magic moment when we bring Christmas to Caledonia. Are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Caleb, are you excited? You'll be out there in the crowd, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here, I'm a little nervous because I've talked to you two about this, and I hate to say this, but you seem a little weak.
With the singing?
You just seem a little weak. I mean, you don't have your songs picked out. We're under a month to go. It's under 30 days.
I don't listen to Christmas music. Somebody's going to have to pick some Christmas music.
It's 29 days, and you guys ain't on it.
I just made a suggestion, and I was ridiculed, so.
What about, like, Mary, Did You Know?
Have you ever really been ridiculed? You wouldn't know what a good ridiculing was.
That brings up a good story, actually. Earlier today, one of my coworkers
said, "This show would be good if you have ADD."
Stop. Let me finish. One of my coworkers said that I was my boss's pet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you're like a kiss behind.
Apparently. They didn't say it to me. They said it to the other people before I got there.
Oh, so this is like a real thing.
This happened earlier today.
So this is not like a joke.
This is not a joke.
Like you're a pet. Ha ha ha.
No.
This is like, they really don't like you.
With malintent, for sure.
They don't like you.
No, they don't like me.
Who said that you were a pet?
One of my coworkers.
Was this like a local thing?
What do you mean? Yeah, like my coworker.
Locally here, because we know you travel around.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it was, really?
Yes, yes.
Now, was it a female or a male?
I'm not going to disclose
It was a male.
That.
So we know who it was.
I didn't disclose anything.
Listen, you could have said a female.
I know who it is.
Okay, we're not going to say the name because we wouldn't do that. But was it a female or a male?
I'm not going to say that anyway.
So it's a male because a male, there's only one. And the female, you could say female and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, we'd be taking shots.
That doesn't
dark.
Matter. besides that, anyway.
I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, I just, it's getting really frustrating. I don't know what to do. Like, I've never had.
So he doesn't like you,
I've
apparently.
Never had so much tension, like, at work before.
I wonder why he doesn't like you.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What do you guys think? What are reasons to dislike me? Everyone go around
God.
And name.
Now, see, no.
She doesn't shut up.
Don't give an opening like that. Like, I mean, we can start with the earrings and work our way down.
I know.
She's done initiated a whole, like, roast session.
I know. Let's go to the phones here. Oh, we lost that caller. Caller, if that was you, give us a call back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz back. No, I mean, you're, for the most part, a likable person. I can't imagine that you would be disliked so heavy.
Yeah, I know. It's such aggression.
But see, I also don't like the person who told you that because, see, that's to me stirring a pot.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't tell me. They said it to the other people before I got there.
So who told you?
My other coworkers.
See, that? that's a little hanky.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But there's just kind of like a communal thing where this individual's not very nice to a lot of us. So we all just kind of, you know, have to deal with it together.
I like that person. I don't work with them directly. What do you think, Sean? In a position like this, how would you handle the situation? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I guess I don't know what to do. It's getting like uncomfortable, and it's been going on for months, honestly.
Well, so let's say you're the kiss butt at work, and the other coworker doesn't like you because of it. What would you do?
I would just continue to be a kiss butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
I guess I just have... I have more in common with my boss. I'm not trying to be a kiss butt. We just are kind of more pally because we're more similar in age.
I mean, you can't please everyone. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I'm like the youngest person there, so...
But how old is your boss?
She's 32.
Okay. Well, that's similar.
So like 10 years.
Yeah. So do you kiss her rear end?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I don't think about it like that. I guess I'm like, oh, we're just pals.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, Scott, I have a question.
Please, go right ahead.
Now, what are you going to do with the old studio?
You know, I don't honestly know what's going to happen with the old studio. We've seen some, there's been talk about it. I really don't know at this point. I think it's empty.
You might take your sign down.
Oh, is the sign still over there?
Yeah, the sign's still over there.
I guess that's advertisement. It's like having a billboard for free.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really stand out, but yeah, you can see it if you pay attention.
It's there. Well, now, did you hear that, you know, I've been asked to bring Christmas to Caledonia this year, and I'm bringing Rudolph and the elf here?
Yeah, I heard that.
Do you get the feeling that it might be a little shaky at this point, that I should be a little nervous about what I'm working with?
Nah, if they can pull off the election, they should be able to pull that off.
Oh, did you hear the election coverage?
Yeah, I heard it.
Well, what'd you make of it?
It was really informative.
Yeah, I thought we did. I thought everybody did a great job that night.
Yeah, it was right on top of everything.
So, now tell me this. Did you hear the whole dilemma that Carrington's in here about being a kiss butt and the coworker doesn't like her because of it?
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening.
So, what would you do in that particular situation?
Honestly, what I would do?
Yeah.
I would confront the person.
Confront them? What do you think, Carrington? You going to confront them?
I don't know. I've thought about it. I'm not super comfortable with it. There's kind of a large age discrepancy between me and the other individual, so it just is a really uncomfortable situation. I would just think someone with more years under their belt would be less petty at work, I guess.
Oh, no, pettiness.
Never dies. No, yeah, and no, I'm learning no. that now. I guess I haven't worked with that many unpleasant people before.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? If the person's older, is it one of those you should call them Mr. and Mrs. and respect your elders type of thing? What do you think, caller?
Nope. If they can't respect me, I don't respect them.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
And I sure wouldn't let nobody badmouth me at work.
So what would you say to them? How would you approach
them? I'd ask them what their problem was.
Just walk up to them and say, what's your problem?
Yeah, I would.
That could get a little ugly.
I'm an ugly person.
Okay, well, I'm all for a good throwdown at work, but you know, I don't know if that's going to work. I can't see Carrington being intimidating.
No, Carrington works in a pharmacy. She's got other means.
Oh. 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 Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you're out there.
Yeah. I remembered. So I've been tuned in since about 6 o'clock.
Oh, good. How did you enjoy the programming that was on?
I liked it.
Yeah. Did you hear the interview?
I was listening to Charlie.
Yeah, oh, Charlie's good. Did you listen to Bob Taft?
Yeah, I listened to it.
What'd you make of him and his whole stance on abortion? Kind of flim-flam, flip-flopped.
Yeah, everybody's got their opinions.
Ain't that the truth? Well, hey, thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are always open. We always welcome your calls, even Callan in Virginia, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, Caleb, what would you do in this particular situation? If somebody is calling you names behind your back at work, what would you do?
Well, I mean, I'm with the caller that just called in. I would confront him, but I mean, some people don't do that. I mean, you could always just go to your manager. Have them have a talk with that.
Yeah, go to your manager.
Mm.
Why doesn't your friend protect you?
My boss?
Your boss, yeah.
I think my boss feels a little similar. It's just been an ongoing issue with this other
Your
individual.
Boss is intimidated by the employee?
Kind of. The union can step in and stop things, so there's not a lot of power that...
But you could say, don't call names. I mean, I think that's your job as a boss.
Yeah, but I think that this person wouldn't... accept feedback very well. They're pretty set in their ways. Like, they're not going to care what the boss has to say. I've seen them make other bosses cry at work. So, yes, I have. Yes, for real. I've seen them. Other bosses have tried to talk to this individual, and then they have walked away crying. So, like, it's just, there's not really a good solution.
You shouldn't really cry if you're the boss in front of the person.
No, they didn't. They waited until the boss left, or the guy...
Oh,
until the individual left, and then their eyes were watering a little.
Well, it's because it's younger girls, right?
Yeah, like 30s, 40s, probably.
I feel bad for younger girls in that position because it's an age dynamic. Mm-hmm. I think it was if it wasn't an age, like I don't think if it was Caleb or Matt, they'd have a problem saying something to them.
No, probably not.
They're just intimidated by this person.
Yes.
Which is strange because I know who this person is, and they're always fine with me. I mean, I have a fine conversation with them all the time.
Yeah, no, you don't work with them.
See, that's not... Listen, sometimes some people just don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And other people do get along with that person. It's more of a... just a personality conflict.
Yeah, I guess it maybe could be that. There's an equitable division of labor issue that goes on, too. So it all just kind of mixes and boils up in there.
So what brought this up? What were we talking about that brought this up in your mind?
Something with the Christmas show. You said
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I don't know how that...
I don't know. We went from Christmas to drama at work.
Drama at work. But no, I'm glad you told that story. That's a very interesting story, and I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think it's just like deal with it. That's the solution. But
yeah, it's got to deal with it.
Just got to deal.
Yep, we got a top 10 list for everybody tonight. By the way, we do have that coming up later on in the program. And what I was saying about the Christmas show is we're going to have to practice tonight. Is what I've decided because we're 29 days away from this big hoopla, so we're going to have to practice tonight. And we're going to pick these songs and we're going to see what we got. You look excited.
No comment.
No, I'm just saying, don't you have to practice?
No. I'm just.
No. You just show up that night and do it?
Yeah,
just give me a paper with the lyrics on it, and I got that.
Yeah.
No, we have to have a rehearsal, because, honest to goodness. No.
We've got plenty of time. I'm not going to remember in 29 days from now this rehearsal.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, I know. We need to be more of a cram thing. Like, I'm thinking the day before we're...
It'll be fine. Don't worry. We're just going to do it. It's not a big rehearsal we're going to do tonight. We just need to decide what these songs are going to be and then get a little taste of them. Because apparently you don't know many Christmas songs.
I know quite a few Christmas songs.
What do you know?
I sang a little Jingle Bell Rock the other day.
Oh, I don't think we're doing that one.
That's fine. I don't know. I can't think of Rudolph, you know, the basic ones. Name some Christmas songs and I'll tell you if I know them.
We might do Rudolph. Rudolph's a possibility, but I just can't see it at this point.
Oh, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. I know that one. Not like all
That's
of
not really
them.
A song, is it?
Yes.
Give me a little bit of it.
They're not going to touch him with a 39 and a half foot pole.
But I thought you didn't like Dr. Seuss.
I don't, but I know the song. I know Christmas songs.
Okay.
I got a compliment on this one time. I was in the car with some friends and we were singing Christmas songs and they were like, wow, Carrington, you're knowing the vocals when they go up and down and everything.
Oh.
They said I knew them, so.
So why are you so fearful of this event?
I don't like to lead singing. This was like a singing along in the car type thing. Everyone was doing it.
Well, you're with Matt. I don't think you're leading.
Well, everyone.
I think she's leading Matt.
Is she?
Yeah, I'm going to. She's going to
be.
Well,
he's dressed like a reindeer. You got the nice end of the costume wore that night. Oh, you just got to wear an elf hat and put some lipstick on your cheeks.
I mean, worst comes to worst. I mean, if I sing bad, like, I'm just a reindeer. If she sings bad,
you're the elf.
They know Carrington.
You're Santa's elf.
Yeah, I was really thrust into this position.
Not thrust. It's holiday. It's the holidays.
Yeah, I'm not a huge singer in public settings.
You were gifted the position.
Are your parents going to come out, your family?
I don't know. I wonder if they're listening right now.
Well, I hope so. I met your mother the other day. We had a very meaningful conversation.
Yeah, in the checkout for 30 seconds.
Well, listen, hey, it was a very meaningful learn to grow on conversation the other day that we had. Very nice lady.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, I liked her.
Good.
Sean, do you think there needs to be a rehearsal or not?
Probably so.
I think
Why
so.
Why isn't Sean singing again?
Because he's taking the pictures.
Yeah, I'll be filming.
He'd be filming us. He'd be behind the camera.
Okay, so he can't sing from behind the camera?
I don't think so. Not on stage.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious. I mean, he could sing off stage. Like, we need to get the crowd going. Like, I don't want to just be looking at me.
What is this fear you have of people looking at you? We're looking at you right now.
I know, but I don't know. I don't really...
You got it.
While singing, I'm just not a great singer. I'm not, like, I don't want to practice. Well, I don't want to be that good at singing.
They're not expecting, like, Taylor Swift over there. It's just a Christmas song to light the tree.
Okay.
Oh, you get it? You used Taylor Swift.
I did.
It.
See, I worked it in.
That was cute. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm here for you. It's good. I'll be standing there.
Okay, singing?
No, because I have to light the tree.
Okay, well, everyone in the audience needs to know that we're singing along, so...
Well, here's what you do. You say, hey, sing along with us.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
That's how you got to do it.
Okay.
What position would you rather be in that night?
I'd light the tree. I would take that
you're
from
you're not
you.
Tree lighting material.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry to tell you. You're just not. I hate to tell you, you're just not there yet.
That's fine. You just asked me what I'd rather be doing.
I understand, but I didn't think you'd go for lighting the tree and the ceremony of lighting the tree.
Okay, well, that's
what am I supposed to do?
For.
Empty the trash cans?
You could sing.
I could sing.
Yeah, you could sing.
I'm not a singer.
Oh, okay, and I've tried to express that I'm not a singer.
But, see, but here's what you say. I'm not a singer. Then you go, and when I'm in the car with my friends, they compliment me on how I go up and down. So you can't do that. That's your whole problem.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I exposed myself.
You have. So we're going to, second hour, stay tuned tonight because we are going to practice. We're going to pick out the two songs. It'll be okay. Don't worry.
I didn't say anything.
Callan in Virginia, he's ready for you tonight.
Oh, well, good.
Okay, well, you seem a little uptight tonight. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm a little hungry.
A little hungry? You didn't eat?
No, I've been at work all day.
But I'm surprised you didn't just roll in here with food like you normally do.
I know, I have B-dubs in the car, and I think I should have brought it in. Oh, there's the microwave. I'll get it during the break.
Yeah, get it there during the break.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Do that. All right, okay, so anyway, so we'll do some topics now, and we'll do some after the break as well, but we are going to practice a little bit for the... We'll practice a little bit every week, and that by the time we get there, and boy, you look like you sucked a lemon. By the time we get there, it's going to be great. You'll be so excited.
And if we give away all the Christmas songs, nobody's going to show up. Why are they going to listen to the music?
Well, they've heard
hearing?
These Christmas songs before. It's not like it's the first time they've heard these.
Yeah, but not from us.
We're not exactly breaking the record.
But if we sing it on the radio every day until then, they're like, yeah.
Not every day. Just Friday night. We'll give it a little practice every week.
Sorry,
by the time we get there, we'll be humming like a top.
That's 11 times they got to hear us sing this.
No. It's the ninth. Four. Only four. There's only four shows between now and then.
All right, they got to hear us sing eight songs. That's a lot of songs.
No. You're only doing two songs.
Yeah,
we're just going to perform
eight times.
We're not.
Four times.
I think you forget.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So
I
eight songs.
Okay, here's what a rehearsal is. You don't sing the song all the way through. Each time you rehearse it, you just give me a little. Because if we give it all away, you're right. Why would somebody come? You just give it a little. Because chances are you have never sang these songs together. Matter of fact, it's not chances. I'm definitely sure you have never sang these songs together. So we'll work it every week until we get to the week before, and we'll have it then. I'll practice my part tonight, too.
Okay.
It'll be a whole little thing. You'll see it. It's going to be big tonight. Excited?
Something like that.
All right. Well, here's something we started earlier on the Exchange Club, but we did not finish. But I like this topic. Michael J. Fox was interviewed again this week. He's been interviewed a lot this year. I think this weekend is the Parkinson's fundraiser, the big Michael J. Fox Parkinson's fundraiser in New York. But anyway, they've raised millions and millions of dollars for Parkinson's research, and they've done all this great research, and Michael J. Fox has had this for about 30 years, and he was doing the interview, and clearly this disease is taking over on him at this particular point. I mean, he can't walk very well anymore. His tremors are getting far worse. He can't even speak as well as he used to now. They actually had to subtitle part of the interview because he wasn't really understandable anymore. But the interviewer said, are you scared? And he said, well, I was scared. The interviewer said, when was the last time you were scared? And he said, 3:47 yesterday. You know, I'm scared all the time because it's a scary thing. But he said, here was the quote, with gratitude, no, that's the wrong one. It said, the absence of fear is faith. Now, I thought that was interesting because you got to figure the sentence that it followed, that he's fearful all the time. But yet, the absence of fear is faith.
So he has no faith.
See, I don't know. That's not how I took it, but I didn't take it that it's faith like religion. I took it that he gets through and has gotten through for 30 years knowing what the end of this is going to be by having faith that tomorrow will come. Or why else would you get up?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I took it as.
I feel like that's probably how he intended it. It didn't come off that way, I guess. I'm thinking, okay, that means you don't have any faith, which, I mean, is fine. It'd be hard to stay optimistic in that situation.
Well, if you have a catastrophic illness like Parkinson's disease, I mean, a lot of people have them. How do you get through it?
I'm not sure. You just kind of do, I guess.
I guess, support from your family?
Maybe. Well, that's an interesting point we're going to get into here in a second, because that's a whole other part of this interview. But what do you think, Sean?
Oh, definitely, you know. You have to try to stay positive as you can, I guess.
Now, the interesting thing when you mentioned family, Michael J. Fox is only, like, I'm not even sure if he's 60 yet. So he's had this disease since his 30s. You know, he's had it for a long, long time, and young man. But his wife was a big part of this interview. He's been married to his wife for 35 years, and she's still there. And clearly, in the condition he's in now, can't speak very clearly, can't really walk by himself anymore, obviously can't do things that a normal husband would do. She's stuck by him. And he says this is a big part of this. But the reason this is an issue is most people do walk away when somebody gets sick, certainly for that amount of time. I mean, I give her a big pat on the back for this, because she didn't have to stay. A wife could leave. That's not your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. Wives can leave. Girlfriends can leave. Boyfriends can leave. But she's stuck there for 30 years now with him through this illness. That's not easy. So I give her a lot of credit. But the question is, why do you think most people leave? It scares a lot of people.
I think that maybe they're protecting themselves. Maybe they don't want to see the end of them, I guess. But or it could be something along the lines of they don't want to, things like that can be expensive. They just don't want to deal with that financially, or they don't want to take the time out of, like, their day, or, like, sacrifice parts of their life to do things that that their significant other now needs.
But isn't that very selfish?
Yeah, but, you know, I think people are going to do what people are going to do.
What do you think, Sean?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of selfish people out there.
I mean, do you think that leaving somebody, whether it's a relationship or a marriage, when they're ill, I mean, this is really about the lowest thing. I mean,
that's
I can forgive most things. That's something I don't know that I'd forgive. I think that would be in my mind for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
What do you think, Caleb?
I mean, yeah. I mean, personally, I would probably stick by him. I mean, I would feel guilty myself if I just, like, up and left just because of a disease.
But you see, we talked about this earlier. I don't believe they think that's why they're leaving.
Yeah, so...
Because if you thought that, you couldn't do it. You would not be able to live with yourself. You'd be guilt-ridden.
The running theory is that they always come up with some reason in their own head to logically as why they can leave this person. It just so happens to be in the middle of a disease.
Yeah, and yeah, just... Darn the luck. They got awful boring during their disease. I just can't be around them anymore.
I mean, if you can adapt with each other, great. I mean, and some people just aren't the type of person to help someone through Parkinson's, such a crazy disease.
But I think, you really have to examine yourself if you're doing that. You really do. I mean, listen, it's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough to be around somebody who's ill, but gee whiz.
Yeah, you'd have to feel really guilty to leave in that situation, but it'd also be really hard being that person. I mean, whenever you get into a marriage, I feel like that's the point where it's like, okay, you know, you give the vows and you're like, okay, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. So that's the point where it's like, yeah, you kind of owe it to them to stay. But before then, like, if you're just dating the person, it's like, do you want to commit to that for the rest of your life? Because nobody's got this vision of their life in the future where they're going to be caring for their sick significant other for the next 30 years. Like, that's really hard.
No, but, you know, I brought this up earlier. There is somebody who I knew who had a catastrophic illness, and they were married when they came down with the illness, and the marriage dissolved while they were ill. Mm-hmm. The person sadly ended up dying very young, but I think at the time they died, I know they were divorced. The time they died, they were divorced, and I think just had remarried. I think they had met somebody else who was a decent person and stayed with them till the end, and I think married them even knowing the end. I think the end came within a year.
Oh, wow.
of the marriage. But they knew.
Mm-hmm.
It was just he wanted to show her that this was, and I thought, you know, I was on the fence about that, to be honest with you, because when you know they're going to be gone soon, is it really much of a gesture? it's nice that you're doing that, but you know they're going to be gone. You know, you don't know. You know that the illness is not going to carry on. I don't know. In the event, I just think you should not abandon somebody during their illness.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, it's a tough situation for both people.
We're getting a note from a listener out here. I don't think most people leave. I think most people stay. Some leave. I think the statistics show that most people leave. Some do stay. Clearly, Michael J. Fox's wife has stayed. And they were young when he got this illness. But most people leave, and that's sad. And I don't know why that is. But I'll tell you, I think it would create a lot of resentment on your behalf toward them.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving up your life if you wanted a job or you wanted to move somewhere or have kids or something, you know, like whatever those stereotypical, like, dreams people have are, they're probably not going to be able to do those things or be much harder.
And then you marry a valve, you just do your part.
Yeah, but I mean, let's just say you're dating somebody. Is it okay to walk out on them when the person gets sick? I mean, do you have to be married to be in it for the long haul? I would feel horrible if I was dating somebody and they got sick and I said, oh, you know what? I just really don't like you all that much anymore.
No, I think that's where what Matt said, where it's like, okay, something else is going to come up and you're like, oh,
right.
I mean, if they have to move somewhere because they got a new job or something, you know, if you're younger and you just make it, that's your thing. You're like, hey, got to break up. I'm doing my own thing now, which I don't know, because then if you're dating still, it's like, yeah, it sucks that that person's sick, but it's like, you didn't commit to them forever.
But, you know, sometimes the person who is ill starts to notice that the person is getting a little different. And they just say, get away. Go away.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to bug me. You know, nothing worse than bugging a sick person.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Well, the other Michael J. Fox quote I was going to say, because earlier in the year, he did an interview talking about the same type of thing, because they were talking about, here you've lived this great life and now you're not going to live to see 70. You know, it's really taking over on you. And he had one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. He said, with gratitude, optimism is sustainable. I think that is the best quote, if not one of the top five, maybe the top two, best quotes I've ever heard. With gratitude, optimism is sustainable. I think that's true. I think if you can find something to be grateful for every day, no matter how bad it is, you can still be optimistic.
I agree. I feel like taking it day by day is important. It's like, oh, I get to go read my book and sit, and you look forward to that. And like, that's great. You got to find things to look forward to every day.
Well, I mean, I think in his particular case, he knows he's going to die from this illness. He knows he's not going to see his kids live to whatever age he would have normally, normal life expectancy. He's not able to do the things with his wife and his kids that a normal 60-year-old man would be doing, but yet he's still out there. He's still optimistic because he has gratitude for something. That's hard to be optimistic when it's easy to be optimistic when things are good, but when things aren't good, it's more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in a situation like that with a terminal illness where it's like there's just a bleak outlook, really.
But we're all terminal when you think about it.
Yeah, definitely. Just like the knowledge of, oh, this is what's going to take me out.
There is nothing in a day that I cannot find to be happy. I mean, I will find something in that day that I'm optimistic about. You know, something. There's something every day. You know, even if it comes out of something bad.
I mean, that's the best way to live life right there, just finding the best out of the worst conditions.
Well, you know what's sad is a lot of people who find out they're terminal, you say, oh, you got a year left to live, you got 6 months left to live, they start obsessing on that. So their last 6 months are that.
Right, just paranoid of the end of 6 months when you should be making the best life you could within the short little time you got.
Well, I always say, just pay attention to tonight. Tonight, there's somebody who is terminal who knows they're going to die tonight, and that person is doing nothing but thinking about that. There's somebody tonight who is going to be killed in a car accident or have a heart attack in their sleep, and right now, they're not thinking a bit about dying. But both are going to be dead tomorrow morning. So why spend your time thinking about it? There's nothing you can do about it.
It's just hard whenever you know. I mean, I'm not saying that it's great. I mean, obviously, that is going to diminish the time that they have left. But I don't know. It'd be really hard to not obsess over that.
I think you have to find, you know, and I think what it is humor. You've got to find the humor in it. because the only action we have in life that can cure pain is laughter. It's involuntary. If you are genuinely laughing at something, you cannot feel pain in that moment, and laughter is an involuntary reaction. So that's why you have to find the humor in everything.
We need more comedians in hospitals, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know if it's comedians. I think it's just an attitude. You know, somebody who had Alzheimer's one time, they were asked, you know, geez, is that tough? You know, you're losing, you know, your mind. And they said, well, there's one good thing about this illness. And the person thought it was going to be kind of dark humor here. And he said, what? And he said, you meet new people every day. So, you know, you got to find the humor in it.
So true.
I mean, so Michael J. Fox, you know, I think he's been an outstanding representative for not just Parkinson's, but clearly he's raised millions and millions of dollars for Parkinson's. But just as somebody who has a good family, a good life, and when he does go, what we'll be able to say is Michael, probably the cure for Parkinson's will be named after him because of all the work he's done. So, good for him. And in some really good movies like Back to the Future.
I've never heard of him before.
Oh,
I don't know who that is, but...
Okay, I had to look him up earlier when we talked about it.
This is so sad. These kids don't know Johnny Carson. They don't know Michael J. Fox. Who do you know? You know Young Gravy and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I do know them.
This is so depressing where society's heading. We're going in a deep dive. Deep dive, Sean. We're going deep.
I'm telling you.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really sad. Okay, here's an interesting thing. Here's some of your young people. Do you know who Joe Jonas is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently Joe Jonas has just gotten divorced from Sophie Turner. Is that right?
I think that sounds right. I'm not a huge Jonas fan.
Anyway... Something going on up there?
No, just looking around.
Are you okay tonight?
Yes.
You seem a little off.
I'm sorry.
Okay, anyway. Joe Jonas got divorced from his wife, Sophie Turner. And he's ticked that she's with a new man in 2 months after their divorce. And he's ticked off. He says, I'm raising these kids and you're out. PDA is what he was doing, you know, public display of affection. This girl's out with this new man. And he don't like it. And what do you think? Is 2 months long enough after the divorce?
No. No, so I don't think so.
She's not allowed to go out and... I think they were kissing, is what they were doing.
How long was the marriage?
It couldn't have been very long, because Joe Jonas is not that old. But they did have kids, so a while. A few years.
It's just in 2 months, like, why isn't she focused more on her kids and trying to, like, maintain her relationship with them?
Maybe this guy hit on her.
Maybe, but like, I don't know, whenever you have kids, that's your new priority, I think, so.
So what is the time you have to wait after a relationship ends before you can be with somebody else?
Well, I don't know. See, it's hard in a celebrity sense, because I feel like you shouldn't be publicly sharing that you're with somebody else for a little bit, at least, but whenever they're celebrities, you know, paparazzi's following them around, so maybe 6 months? I don't know. It's a marriage. It's just different with a marriage and, like, kids and stuff than if you broke up with your boyfriend. I think so.
Why is that different?
They had a more intimate relationship.
Okay, now here's... I've known people who the divorce was not final. Now, they weren't living together anymore, but the paperwork was not finalized yet, and they'd already moved on to somebody else. Is that okay?
I mean, I've heard of that, too, and everybody makes their own decisions. I think people will make comments about it and be like, oh, that's an interesting choice you're making, but I mean, you can do what you want.
What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think that if you were going to date somebody right after you get divorced, there's probably some kind of issue there. I feel like being married and being... Oh, by the way, I feel like being married and being in a relationship are basically the same thing, except the one's a contractually agreed-upon relationship.
I don't understand the difference, either. You're right. If it ends, it ends.
Yeah.
So, how long do you have to wait?
I don't know, three
to... a lot of different numbers.
I was going to say three, but then I was like, no, that's too low. So, yeah, 6 to 8 is probably good.
6 to 8 months?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean, Caleb?
I mean, Matt's right on the target with that 6 to 8 months. I mean, you just got to give yourself time to, like, really take a step back, see where you are, like, in your alone life. And then when you finally got all your bricks placed, your foundation, then you're ready to start another relationship.
So you think the Sophie Turner at 2 months is kind of a putain?
I mean, it's a little quick, but everyone has their own opinion.
So is she okay to do this? Or is Joe Jonas angry for coming at her? See, I think that's bad, though, because I think then you sound like you're sour grapes.
Who initiated the divorce?
I think he did. Ooh. But I think he saw her with somebody else.
I think that it looks awful on you.
So she's been a putain for a while. She's been a putain for a while.
It looks like it's awful on you to divorce your wife, or I guess your ex-wife, who would be at that point, and then get upset when the woman you divorced is now with another man.
Yeah, but 2 months? What do you think, Sean?
Oh, I say 2 years.
I mean, either, but like, if you don't, you done said, I don't want you anymore. So why does it matter how quick they move on?
Well, because does that really show that they really cared much about you if they don't wait that long? I mean, how lonely and pathetic do you have to be in a relationship that quickly after one ends? I mean, you must really have some kind of mental defect. It's a character flaw.
I mean, didn't you say he found her with another man? I mean,
I don't know if he found her with another man.
Like, attracted to him as he was to her. And maybe that's why it only took her 2 months to just forget about him, move on.
Yeah, I don't know. 2 months just seems really fast in the sense of, like, how long could she have been alone? Like, when did you meet this person? Because I always think about it, I mean, I think of it in more of a sense of, like, local people, where it's like, okay, if you're going to share this person, a picture of you guys online or something, you obviously didn't meet them yesterday if you're already posting pictures of them. So, you know, you have to go back maybe a month or two. Like, how long do people wait before they start posting their significant other online? And then you're trying to, I've thought about this before, where you're, like, doing the math to see, when do you think that this person met, and then when did they share them, and, like, how does that line up with the timeline of their last relationship?
So if we're putting out PDA pictures at 2 months, how long has she known this guy?
I would have to think she'd known him at least 2 or 3 months, but it's different if they're celebrities and, like, paparazzi takes a picture of them.
Why is that different?
Because you're not the one posting it.
Yeah, if, like, somebody took a picture doing it. Of you. Yeah, well, but you're not
putting that on.
That could be their first date, for all we know.
Well, so she just easy, is what you're telling me.
That they kissed on their first date? That's easy?
I don't think kissing on the first date's all that proper.
Oh, okay.
Will you do?
I'm not saying that. I just...
You looked at me like I...
No, but, I mean, it's just... It's not as, like, bad if she just met this guy and this is their first date and paparazzi takes a picture of them kissing and she's been alone for the last 2 months. But if she is the one sharing these photos of her kissing this guy, she didn't meet him yesterday because you had to get comfortable enough. Either way, like, that means that they had known each other for... longer than
I just don't get why the paparazzis matter. Who cares who takes the picture?
Because, like, the whole thing with, like, paparazzi is you don't necessarily want the picture taken with paparazzi. So, like, if it was your first date and there was a picture spread across the internet of you with somebody on your first date,
but you still did it.
Yes, but it could just be because, like,
I thank the paparazzi for catching them doing their thing.
Why?
Because why hide that? If you're doing it, you're doing it. If you're not, you're not.
I don't...
So the first date should be with your family. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it should be going on dates. And I think... I don't believe... Listen, I think there is a time frame that you should wait. How much did you really care about that last person if you're already out kissing some new person in 2 months? I mean, come on.
I mean, I agree, especially in the sense of they had a whole, probably 7 or 8 year marriage and children. Like, it sounds like she probably has other things she needs to focus on right now because... she's been in this relationship for so long, she doesn't know anything about who she is as an individual, and she has kids she needs to worry about. So
she's going
to
be one of those serial daters, serial marriers, I guarantee. Yeah. Because you can clearly see that she's not stable. you don't do this. You don't... Well, and by the way, the guy she's with now is a British aristocrat who's worth $273 million.
Oh, maybe that's why she likes him.
Was is that acceptable?
No, but I can see why she likes him now.
Would you like somebody for that?
Not just for that, but like it.
I don't Carrington.
Know. We were just over here bashing this lady for taking 2 months after 8 years, and then all of a sudden, you're like, "Well, I'm $200 million."
Well, you know what? $273 million, that's a deal breaker.
No, I'm still saying what she's doing is wrong, but like I can see why she's more incentivized if he's got a bunch of money.
What is wrong with you?
I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm just saying that's probably what she's thinking.
She's just understanding.
No, but you're defending
like
it.
I'm not defending it. I'm saying that's probably what she's thinking.
But you...
I'm not defending it.
People think that?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't...
I was going to say there's a whole... There's
if you had $2.73, no dice here. But $273 million, okay.
Yeah, probably. I bet people do think that.
There's a name for those people.
Gold diggers?
Well... That's a nice way to put it. You don't do that for money.
Yeah, I agree. That's still bad of her.
Listen, if you like somebody because of the money, you have serious, serious problems. That ain't going to work.
Yeah, you probably don't like them that much.
No. And that becomes the whole problem is, do I like them because of what they're doing for me or buying for me, or do I actually like them? Find yourself a nice poor person. And if you like them, then you're in good shape. Until they become terminal, then get the heck out of there. Unless they're worth $273 million, then stay around because there might be a big payoff at the end.
Inherit, yes.
Yeah, yeah. This is how people think now. What's wrong with the world? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's her game plan. Maybe to marry this guy, then divorce him, and then take his money. Maybe that's the game plan.
I just
to raise her children.
I can see why Joe Jonas is ticked.
My dad did look it up. He did file for the divorce from her. So
your dad's out there listening.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
So do we know how long they were married?
No, but give him a couple minutes. He's listening.
He'll get it. Okay.
He'll let us know.
Well, this is an interesting program. And remember, next hour, we're going to have the rehearsals for Christmas in Caledonia, Christmas in the Village.
Woo.
Yeah, I can feel you're getting more excited.
I know.
And we have a top 10 list coming up tonight, and we also have this. This is a great subject we're going to get into, and I don't want to give you a hint as to what it is, but we haven't talked about it anywhere before. What's something quick we can do here with about 3 minutes left in this hour? Oh, we talked the other day about the ideal child. We did that for the television show. I thought that was interesting. We can do this in 3 minutes. 3% of people say that one child is the ideal family, 44% say two children is the ideal family, and 29% say three children is the ideal family. What's the ideal family? See, my vote is zero.
Agreed.
Zero children, that is ideal.
Right, but if children have to be involved...
One. I'm with one. I'm in the...
I think two to three. You can't have one and then be done.
Yep. Oh, you can have one. One and done.
Gotta be pairs.
Yep, yeah. Gotta be pairs.
Nope, one and done. One and done. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, I think one and done, too.
Nope.
I mean, I think if you have an only child, you can focus your attention on them. You can focus your effort on them. You don't have to have a favorite child, a non-favorite child. You don't have to have sibling rivalry. It's a whole nice thing.
Just you and that child.
You, the parents, and the children. Listen, it comes down to that. Listen, if you're born first, you're an only child for a period in your life. If you're born last, your siblings leave. You become an only child at some point in your life. There's no different.
I don't know. I just disagree. I think that there's the socialization aspect matters.
Right. They have to have someone to talk to, play with, and like... I mean, you could play with your kid, yes, but like having someone your same age, like...
Aren't there kids in the neighborhood, like cousins, best friends, schoolmates, things like that?
But then they don't go to school until they're five. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I was young, I remember playing with the kids in the neighborhood before I went to school.
See, but that was when you were young. I think kids...
But did they do away with neighborhoods? Did I miss something?
Not necessarily neighborhoods. But yeah, it's all about... It's majority video games.
I want to see...
Video games and TV. And
I
TikTok.
Wonder how many kids grow up like... age 3 or higher with electronics. Like,
oh, I'm sure
what
they
age
do
they, like, most kids get a laptop or an iPad?
Right, but isn't this an electronics problem, not so much a sibling problem?
I mean, I think it's a social problem. I think more people are going to be socially more awkward.
I don't know. I think one is fine. I think one, if you have to have one, and frankly, you'd have to break my fingers back at this point to make me want to do that, but... One is all you really need. That's a lot of work.
I just think too,
that's 18 years.
Hotel rooms are for four people, and like family packages, it's four people.
If you look up a nuclear family, four people.
Well, what? So?
You're just saying the ideal. Like, I think that the ideal is four in most situations for You know, the, then they've got somebody to ride the ride with if you're on your trip or sit in the back seat and argue
Listen,
with. Like
you can have 14 for all I care. I'm just saying, for me, it's one. One, if you have to. If you don't have to, zero. Your life will be so much easier, less complicated. You can do things.
Absolutely not. So you got the first and second one to kind of watch each other.
Right.
So what, you can go out and date people, $273 million British aristocrats?
Yeah, I guess.
2 months after your divorce.
Oh, Lord. Just like old Sophie Turner. Well, we've got Carrington, Caleb, Matt, and Sean here tonight, and we're going to take a break here, go get some cheese dip and some soda, and come back with us because we are going to get ready for Christmas in the village in Caledonia. We're going to rehearse for that, and we're also going to have another subject and a top 10 list, so don't you dare go anywhere.
And Marla is after it.
When is it, do you regret not getting as many award Emmys, things like that? Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward.